You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Let America be America again, by Langston Hughes. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America was never America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dream. Let it be that great, strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above.
That felt like it would be all right.
Never.
Didn't have insulation, but civilians were being shot.
Oh,
so I wasn't.
Let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor, white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profits, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker, sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today, despite the dream, beaten yet today. Oh, pioneers, I am the man who never got ahead. I am the poorest worker bartered through the years yet. I am the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I am the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home, for I am the one who left dark Ireland's shore. Born from Black Africa's strand to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today. The millions shot down when we strike. The millions who have nothing for our pay. For all the dreams we've dreamed and all the songs we've sung and all the hopes we've held and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has yet been and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stay from those who live like leeches on people's lives. We must take back our land again. America, oh yes, I say it plain, America is never America to me, and yet I swear this hope, America will be, out of the rake and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft, of stealth and lies, we, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and all the stretch, these great green states, and make
history is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Finley Medical Clinic. We serve uninsured, underinsured, and insured individuals. open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Urgent care clinic Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call for an appointment at 414-988-3079. Finley Medical Clinic is accepting new patients. Vaccines and screenings for uninsured, underinsured, and insured. Located at 10721 West Capitol Drive, Suite 110. Call our office for an appointment today at
414- You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep and greetings, my sisters and brothers. Welcome to the Black Reality Think Tank. I am your host, William Rogers. Tonight, we are talking about the power of the womb. It may be the key to African liberation. Let me share this with you. A woman's power source has always been with the Great Mother. Throughout history, mankind has sought to sever this connection because it is the essence of power. It is dark and mysterious. The void between rational explanation, it is untamed, it is free, it is wild, it is uninhibited, both from social and moral conditioning. We have become fearful of the power of this source, the feminine that goes beyond the realms of ideas and fantasy. The system we are currently living with does not recognize our individual spiritual path, and it seeks to include everyone in the same mundane expressions of life according to the constraints, the rules, and the constructions of a mechanical society. There is one main lifestyle template that is in widespread operation that falsely promises a happiness based on gathering material wealth, so-called domestic bliss, remaining split with our true masculine feminine nature and staying stuck in archaic disempowering roles that barely touch our true essence. The great spiritual path manifests as a collective imbalance in the womb. Hysterectomies, PCOS, infertility, fibroids, and menstrual pain are some of the most common ways this shows up in the physical. The Western medical system offers what can generally be described as butchery of the female body, which compounds the problem of estrangement from the physical and the metaphysical womb. And it reinforces the myth that we are unable to heal ourselves. Surely this system can no longer hold. It is simply not working. If this is true, it is out of date. There may be an attempt to fight this imbalance. This fight can be with men, it could be with the system, or it could be with mothers. Unfortunately, this causes further ruptures. Surely this system can no longer hold. It is simply not working. It is truly out of date. So, what then do we do to restore health, balance, and vitality? We re-engage with the sacred path that's encoded within our bodies, our menstrual cycles. Woman was created with this natural pathway of growth and enlightenment to facilitate her evolution and that of humanity. And so the shift, the rise of the feminine, whatever you want to call it, starts with each of us. We can no longer omit this. We can all do something today, now, to engage with our cycle and our true path. This comes from a website called The Womb. So tonight, that is the source of our discussion, and I've asked a panel of very exciting individuals who work in this field. We have with us a practitioner of the spiritual process of working with the womb who has come here to talk with us and about her program and what she's doing. I have another young lady who has her own therapy system at work, working with women in these areas. And we've asked a MD who has worked with over thousands of womb and has brought thousands of lives to the planet through this powerful system and has had to watch not only its development, but its decay as well. So we've asked her to join us and to stimulate this conversation. And then, of course, all of you, you can chime right in at some point and ask questions and offer your contribution as well. I would like to just remind our audience, those that are on the telephone, that your phones are very sensitive and we can't hear any background noise or noise where you may be talking with someone else in the room because your mics are all open. So if you would like to just mute your phone if that's the case and so that you can talk without distraction, please do so. Those of you who are on the internet calling, this is a call-in format, and you can give us a call here for if you want comments, ask questions. The number is area code 215-490-9832. And I repeat, 215-490-9832. And that way you can also engage in our conversation as well. And so let me very briefly do a couple of things. I want to introduce our group by name, and then they can tell you a little bit about what they do. But first, I want to kind of give you an idea of why are we doing this? What is the purpose, and why am I, as a male, interested in this topic, and give some reasoning behind that? Over the last 2 or 3 months, I have been working with a group of ladies in different parts of the country about relationships and things that we are talking about in terms of relationship and male and female, recognizing the power of the family and the healing of the family. One of the things that we do here at the Black Reality Think Tank is we focus on healing the family. We talk about variations of ways and possibilities and solutions to work with the family. And so very clearly, this fits right into that construct of doing that. And so there's a very strong interest that I personally have as the producer and host of the Black Reality Think Tank is to talk as much as we can about what can we do to help the black family. And the reason for that is just basically my community concern, me as a father and as a grandfather and as a great-grandfather and as a great-great-grandfather. I am interested in family strength and family empowerment. I have both boys and girls, and I'm watching them run their families and do some of the things they do. Some of the things they do make me smile. Some of the things they do make me cry. And so, therefore, I want to do as much as I can to help in turn the community. So that's one of the reasons that I personally am involved. Another reason that I think that men need to listen to this is because sometimes we overlook just how much power our women possess and how much power the woman possess. And that's not necessarily something as an ego factor. It's really just central to how life works. We come through the womb. That's how men got to the planet, through that womb. And it carries a lot of power. And it is a protector, and we have a role to play into that development of the womb. And so we must wake ourselves up if we are not doing that and begin to focus and turn to that. And then the other thing is we have to stop degrading our women among ourselves. Well, the transatlantic slave trade, chattel slavery, was a horrible system, and it taught us how not to respect our woman. And we have carried that into the 19th century, we've carried it into the 20th century, and now we are carrying it into the 21st century. So we need to talk to our boys and young men coming up and talk to them about the reason there is respect, need to be respect. We need to talk about the central role that that woman or mother plays in our world and in our life. And so that's why we're doing this. And I think if we can begin to take some actions in that direction, we might be able to have a stronger community, and we might be able to liberate ourselves from some of these terrible things that we see going around us. Domestic violence, sexual trafficking, rape, all of these, pornography, and all of these things that we are doing is devastating to our community and to our future. And so that's the reason why. And so I've linked up with people that I know that are doing that. And one of my first guests, I've been engaged with her for a while about this process and doing things. Her name is Lotus J. She has been on our program before, and she has a serious function that she's doing. Every Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock, a group of women get on a Zoom call, and they have invited me. I am the only male on there. I think there's one other gentleman that comes on sometime. And I find that so empowering. I'm humble, though. I'm not, you know, ego tripping over. I'm just humble to listen sometimes and then offer and make a contribution to the discussions at hand. So good afternoon, Lotus. How are you doing?
Hello there, Dr. Rogers. Thank you so much for having me on. I am doing well, and, you know, this is one of the most important topics to me, so I am very honored to be on. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And thank you for agreeing to come. And actually, to be honest with you folks, Lotus is the one that stimulated me to have this discussion. We talked about it, and she said, I want to come on and do some things along this line. I'm developing a program, and she's going to tell us about that program that she's developing, and I'd like to use your format to come on to do that. So I'm more than welcome, more than happy, and obviously, as I said, honored and pleased. our second guest, you know, we are doing this podcast, broadcasting, as a wonderful means, particularly during the COVID crisis that we've been in. It gives us a chance to keep our talking to each other and keep things open. So the Black Reality Think Tank has sort of developed several programs around particular subject areas where we can discuss. We have a program that comes on Thursday night called Warrior's Way, Continuing the Fight. Talks about protecting ourselves as families, men and women, and things like that of that nature, looking at some of the horrible things that these police are doing in our community, and how we need to be able to deprogram from that kind of trauma. So it comes on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock on the Blog Talk system. And then there's another program that comes on Saturday. It's called Black Sister Talk, Where You Can Breathe. And the host of that is Ms. LaWanda Chambers. And I want to say that that program, all of the podcasts and broadcast programs get rated by agencies. There's an international agency that rates all programs, but they rate them by categories. And her podcast is one that deals with therapy and working with people online and through the therapy system. And her program was rated recently by this agency called Feed, she can tell us what it is, and they rated her one of the top 25 therapy programs on the internet, not in America, on the internet, which means you're talking thousands, millions of organizations. And so I'm really proud of her and the job that her staff is doing and has done in doing that program, a very dynamic program for women. And her name is Ms. LaWanda Chambers. Good afternoon, Ms. Chambers. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers. I'm doing well, and you?
Great, great, great. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on. I really appreciate it. And
no
then,
problem.
Right, and then we have another program that airs on Saturday evening from 6 to 8 called the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee. And it's basically a program that is produced and hosted by elders of our community, people who are specialties in the area, certain areas, and the host and producer of that program, is an MD. And her name is Dr. Janine James. She's also an OBGYN gynecologist. And she has, as I indicated in the introduction, she's brought in thousands of lives to the planet Earth in her career as a doctor. And she, as I said, she has seen the womb physically inside. She has seen it in destruction. And she has had to participate, unfortunately, she says, in ways to have to remove that womb in order to save the life of that person. So she's here to talk about that. As we talk about its power, we have to talk about taking care of it and protecting it and really what that means and how to understand all of that. So we've asked her to join us, and she has agreed. Again, her name is Dr. Janine James, and she is the host and producer of the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee. Good afternoon, Dr. James. Dr. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Thank you so much for doing so. I appreciate it. Okay. So let's kind of get moving with this discussion. One of the things that we, you know, we like to always do here at the Black Reality Think Tank is we like to, support a lot of what we're doing with resources. So I'm going to be doing that through the course of the event. I have found several wonderful readings that may be of interest to you, the panel, and our guests, as well as those of you on the internet. So we'll be sharing with you some of those titles, and that you can take a look at it in the ways that we are talking about it. One of the approaches that we are taking is obviously the spiritual part and the power of the womb in that matter. And then at that point, we also have Dr. James, who takes a look at it from the physical perspective as well. And then I'll give you some resources about the ideas and where some of these ideas come from. A lot of them are traditional African concepts that were rooted in Africa and used by the African queen mothers and the villages there. Some of them have been embraced by Native American cultures and have rooting in that system as well. And so it does provide interesting reading and informing you of what is available and what's out there and just how to look at all that. So we'll do that as we go through the course of the evening. Okay, so let us begin. So I want to start, I guess I'll start with Sister Lotus, Jace, because I know you have the organization that's working on trying to teach women these ideas and getting them to focus and pay attention on them. From the feminine perspective, obviously, you have no choice. You're a woman. But give us the interpretation from the woman perspective on what it means to say the womb is powerful.
What does it mean
for one to say, yeah, from you and what you are doing and the kind of work you're doing, that the womb is powerful? Is it? It's not just a group of words. Power. What is it about the womb that makes it necessary to say that?
Well, if we really just step back and think about the womb, if you everything that you look at right now with your eyes open is because somebody came through the womb. Everything that you hear, if you cannot see, is because somebody came through the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you smell is because somebody came through the womb. So we cannot continue to minimize how powerful that is. And it was made that powerful by the Creator, by the One, by God, by whatever language you use to describe who you connect to spiritually. Whatever language you use, it still was created by the womb. The womb was created as the most sacred place here to bring life into the world. So because of that, just that fact alone, we have to fall back and start putting some thought to why. Why the womb?
Mm-hmm.
What is so special, what's so sacred about the womb? Because minimizing the womb and minimizing the importance of the womb is
one of the primary reasons we are in the condition that we're in right now as a society. And so a lot of the dysfunction in the world, a lot of people who are born with different ailments and psychological issues, is because there was a sperm and an egg that mingled inside of a womb. And that sperm and that egg, we don't always know who, you know, the other person is that donated the other to us. But you can leave something that small inside of that womb, and that womb is going to take those two and put it together, and life comes. So if we think about that, we have to slow down the process and just begin to just fall back and whoa, like you say all the time, Doc, whoa. That's some power when you think about that. And when I slow down in life, in my process of healing, that was the foundation that I got back to. After I'm thinking about everything that I went back and went through in life, and the further I go back, I get to the beginning where it all started. Mm-hmm. And it's the darkness, the inside, the quiet, the stillness of the womb. Mm-hmm. And so I just believe that if we can learn to put respect back on that womb, we can see some things change in our life, especially in our culture.
And so when you say put respect, meaning give credence and vision to the power that it has in the way you described it and what it means to us as a community. Is that right? Am I correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that correct?
We do. At the very basic level, we have to start considering what that womb really is. Because if we don't consider what the womb really is, we can't really respect it. Because we don't know its value. We don't know how important it is. If you put a gold chip inside of a child's hand, they have no idea the value of that. Mm-hmm. So if we don't know the value of it, we'll play with it. We'll play around with it. We'll give it away. We'll share it with people who we really shouldn't. And then it starts to, we have to get it back. We have to get it back to the pureness. And I'm not talking about you never be with anybody as a woman. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about understanding how sacred it is. So we got to look at the word sacred and then apply that to the word womb before we even get past that. And that's why Queen Afua's book and her study is so important, particularly to the black woman. Right. Because we have not been taught to cherish our wounds like that. You know, our history, our psyche, and our subconscious, our ancestors who reside in us have experienced trauma with their wounds.
Yes.
Their wounds were used as a black community. It tortured the black community.
Mm-hmm.
All the toxicity that was left, the hatred that was left inside of the womb. And then someone had to push that hatred out in the form of a child, in the form of a life.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we don't get back to the essence of how that life was brought to the world, the life was made in trauma because the womb was traumatized. We have a lot of traumatic people walking around. And that's the essence of, and that's the result of not respecting the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have heard that in blotches of areas of our community. I recall the Nation of Islam, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that in what he was doing with the nation, he said 85% of his work was with the woman. And he didn't get further, but as you go along, it began to be clear what he meant, because as he organized the women's groups and things within the nation, Marcus Garvey said the same thing. If you look at Marcus Garvey's UNIA movement, over 50% of the participants of the UNIA movement were women. The Black Cross nurses were powerful, and it wasn't just about medical stuff. These women were involved in nurturing and nursing and bringing babies in the world in a natural way. So I agree. I hear you very well. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. And one thing I want to ask you, from your perspective, whose job is it to teach that? And when does it start? You know, on the physical level, who is supposed to do that? Who's obligated? Is it the family, the mother, from your perspective?
I've never had anyone ask me that question, but I would say I think it's a collective effort, to be honest with you, because I think both parties, the male and the female, need to respect the womb and then teach the importance of the womb. Everybody needs to know.
Okay.
You know, the mother is the first teacher, you know, so organically, authentically, she will be, you know, the primary teacher
right.
to the family. However, everybody needs to have an understanding for the how sacred the womb is, in my opinion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with that. Okay, all right. We'll get deeper into that as we talk to some others. Sister LaWanda, let me ask you now. Black Sister Talk has been doing a lot of work, from what I gather from your topics that you give me and what you be talking about bringing a lot of this home in a way of teaching. Am I correct? Are you teaching this in your therapy work that you're doing and in your broadcast on Saturdays? Is this the kind of thing that you're teaching?
Absolutely. Okay. I couldn't agree more with Sister Lotus and what she's speaking about.
Right. Exactly. So, in what perspective are you bringing this information? Are you people who are more knowledgeable at it? I know you have some guests sometimes that seem to be very knowledgeable about it. How do you do it? What is the process of teaching?
Well, the process of teaching is really listening. First, I really want to meet people where they are. We definitely get a lot further when we speak with each other and not at each other. Mm-hmm. So there are real candid conversations about these types of issues, because these are issues that we all face as Black women, whether we have the support systems that we need around us to simply talk about it and get advice and understand to become more aware of how these things are affecting the mental health. That is neither here nor there. As far as curriculum goes, we start at a real, like Ms. Lotus said, a real practical level. These are basic level things that we really need to master as women, as far as taking care of the wound and what that means and what that looks like.
Right.
And then teaching the community around us how to respect our values and boundaries once they're set, because there are boundaries and values that come into play. The question you just asked really hit home, because it is the responsibility of everyone that comes encounter with a woman. Just like Black Sister Talk, yes, it's a community therapy platform for women to heal, mm-hmm. but we welcome everyone to that platform, because everyone can learn something about how to care and protect the Black woman. Mm-hmm. We are the most marginalized people. We suffer from the most health disparities. We're more than three times likely to die than other races when we're even giving birth. Mm-hmm. I think those things are very relevant and need to be discussed, because we have to save our own.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep surviving and surviving, and the way we do that is by becoming knowledgeable and providing people with real, tangible, practical ways to address womb health.
Okay.
Life itself. You know, life in general, all it encompasses womb health.
Okay.
It's everything.
And that's what you're calling it. You're calling it womb health. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, do you encounter that 16-year-old, that 15-year-old who is out there, you know, not aware of the power of her womb, and it maybe it might be involved in reckless behavior and getting pregnant at 14 and 13, you know, are you able to get to them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We start with a strong foundation of teaching young women how to value themselves,
yes.
what respect looks like for themselves. And a lot of the times, we really have to address this. Most of our community comes from broken families. And if we started, they are, then people would think a little bit differently about the actions that they engage in.
Okay.
There can be learning around that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, because, I mean, if you talk about destruction of a community, that's one of the clear ways of doing that. Now, you know, the in the logic of empire building, in the logic of conquering and warfare, they are written into the annals techniques that conquerors use to seize a people and make sure that they can subjugate them perpetually. And there are basically three things that it is suggested in the logic of warfare to use in conquering the people. One is to take the tongue, meaning so that they can't speak their own natural language. Take their god so that they don't know who they worship and their spiritual system is run afoul. And the third thing is to change the bloodline, which means rape the woman. And if we look at warfare, you see that all the time. When Europe and the Arab world declared war on Africa, and they went into Africa as conquerors, that's what you saw happen. And so once that happens, that's not going to be a real easy job to bring that back to normality. So what do you think, just from what you do in your terms of your therapy, what are some things that we are going to have to consider to bring our people back to that basis? One of the frequent participants on the Black Reality Think Tank, he's written a book called Recapturing the African Mind. How can we go back and recapture that? Or can it be done? Can we recapture that?
I absolutely believe that it is possible, but it's going to take a lot more than just therapy at this point.
Okay.
I have to be therapy is a tool right now for us to build ourselves up, mm-hmm. because our community has a loss of confidence in self. A lot of the women that I meet with, they're lacking confidence. Their self-esteem is low. They've been in failed relationships. They know they had values. Mm-hmm. They didn't know they could have boundaries. It's a lot of things that they just did not know, and a lot of things that have been allowed,
mm-hmm.
and then in eyes. And so what my job is in the community right now with a lot of my clients is practical, realistic, tangible things so that we can work our way up to some higher functioning,
mm-hmm.
and then women in a position to be able to become free thinkers, critical thinkers, able to anticipate their needs in such ways that they have never imagined, and then really put themselves in a position to make the best choices for themselves, not only as far as the relationship goes, but as a career goes,
mm-hmm.
as the health goes, as it, in every domain of life, basically, because we also touch on spirituality. We talk about yoga. We talk about using that as a tool off the mat so that they're able to respond to situations. So it's really about getting this generation of women cultivated in becoming free thinkers, critical thinkers, strong-minded women, because we are leaders. We are strong. We are capable. We definitely need some respect put on our names because we have a portal in our wombs. We bring people into this world. And so because of that, we need to really establish taking our power back so that this next generation is in a better position to do the next layer of work that needs to be done. We're definitely building confidence right now.
Interesting.
You're very interesting. Okay, before I go to Dr. James, let me ask you, Sister Lotus, you know, understanding that, and like I said, these are people that study war, and they study how to be effective in terms of their captivities and being able to seize cultures and perpetually for a lifetime, because you can see that in the slave system and in the capturing of Africans, you know, the impact of that is just unbelievable. You can't see it, you know, the whole thing of ethnic cleansing, changing the bloodline, and you know, you get that's where you get into stuff with the light skin, dark skin issue, because you know, some people got the complexion of the rapists, some still got the complexion of the you know, the Nazis. So you know, we know the things that we counted there. What do you use to work at untangling that? What is your theory about reversing that and recapturing the African mind? How would you do that in your work?
My approach is just a spiritual approach, and what I mean by that is it really is the connection spiritually as spiritual beings, because I believe that we have to get back all the way inside of ourselves in order to even remember who we are, you know. And I think that is the issue, is the fact that we've been so detached, like you said, robbed from the cradle, you know, the enemy, you know, coming in and laying with our mothers, and the abusive tactics that were used, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, and they didn't care. They didn't care if they left semen,
yeah,
because it didn't matter to them. They weren't going to take care of the baby anyway. It's a little different now because, you know, a male may not want to get a woman pregnant, and you know, if he's just engaging with her and don't really care about her. But back then, or even now, if she's raped and it's a war situation, they do not care. So think about the trauma of just the act alone,
right,
that got that child here. There are some date rapes, and I don't minimize anything at all, but it's still a different energy that is released into the sperm that connects with that egg inside of that womb when it's violent.
Right.
It's different. And so that's what we're dealing with, is this centuries of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And centuries of trauma that have been buried and have not been dealt with. So it's unaddressed trauma that has been passed on from generation to generation through the seed,
right,
and through the egg. And so because of that, that's why the level of trauma and what we're seeing now is so extremely demonic.
Right.
So to me, you can't do anything but deal with that in the spiritual sense. And the fact that we haven't is the reason it has gotten this out of control to begin with. We got to go back to the maker in order to correct it. If I am, as a woman, this is my mantra that I do every day, I am a co-creator with the creator.
Yes.
And
yes,
I am born to create. If I am,
yes,
a co-creator with the creator, and I am used along with the creator to bring this life here, I need to get back with that creator to try to fix what's going on.
Okay.
And that's on the inside of me. That's what's going on in my womb,
okay,
as a woman, the essence of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. One of the things that I've done as a historian, and is to study very carefully chattel slavery and looking at what it did and what were the processes of it. And many historians have done that. Not only just look at it from the physical, but the mental and spiritual as well, too. And we have been able to take a real good look at that based on certain writings that were done at the time that it was happening. you know, a lot of the slave narratives, as well as the fact that some of the people in captivity were able to write English, and they wrote their experiences. There was an African prince whose name was Oladao Equiano, and he wrote narratives about what he saw. And then you had, obviously, you had Harriet that wrote The Life of a Slave Girl. She was able to write about her experience of rape and looking at some of the horrors that were done to her. And one of the things that all of these writings detail is that it was always there, and it was consistent every day. It was like never a break from that and what the black woman was put through. Angela Davis did a book called Women, Race, and Class, and she looked very deeply at that system and what it did to the black woman. And so the point that I'm making is that, as you said, it's intense, and it's going to take some work. And as Sister LaWanda said, it's going to have to go beyond therapy to look at what has happened and what has been done. And then the male has to begin to do some things and to make sure that they understand that and the impact of it, because many of them are byproducts of that themselves, you know, and you have to be
right
cautious of what that means. So we are looking at some tricky ways. And the problem that I've always had is people will say, don't talk about it. We don't need to talk about that. You know, just let that's a long time ago. You know, no, you got to talk about that. You got to bring that up, because again, there are children coming behind who are going through some of the same thing. Sex trafficking is horrible, and what it's going to do to the children of our community. You know, and we haven't even understood the extent of that and what that leads to. So, and it's more than, and I know, I realize it's more than just what we are just saying here today. Is it has other factors involved, and that's why I ask Dr. James to come on, and because she sees the physical wound every in her work consistently, and she can kind of tell us a little bit about what are the conditions that she sees in the womb that obviously is speaking to some of the things that we are talking about. So, good afternoon, Dr. James. How are you doing? Again?
Well, I'm doing well, and I'm delighted to be invited to share this space with your guests.
Yes, thank you.
Who obviously have been very passionate about their thoughts, their readings, and but I'm also struggling as well. Because I see great wisdom being presented, mm-hmm. but I'm also struggling with some very important knowledge
okay.
that is still lacking in this subject.
Okay, great.
And you mentioned to me some time ago about this concept of the womb.
Yes.
And frankly, I'm wondering, what in the world is he talking about? not that this is a man, but it just was not making any sense from a scientific perspective.
Gotcha.
And so what I am hearing, though, is that which has been missing, perhaps, in the medical knowledge that I've had and all of us who have trained in this way, and you're actually giving some validation also to some of the medical perspective, but I hope that I can say some things that can allow us to build on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
And what I am seeing or hearing is that we are placing a significance on a bodily organ, which really is of the power of a female. And what we are seeing and part of the work that I've done, particularly related to that which can lead to the death of women revolving around that uterus, may be answered in some of the things that your guests are speaking about. This organ, which only females have, serves, as has been described, a very valuable role that has not been duplicated. We've been looking at ways of trying to do this, but it has not been duplicated in terms of what it takes to nurture, shelter that developing human being and allow it the time that it needs, not only the time, but the nourishment, and what you're speaking about in terms of some of the emotional component is something that I've observed, which few people in medicine have addressed, that contributes to the illness in many women revolving around the uterus. So what I'm hearing said gives me a better understanding of why women have come to the uterus in the way that's being described, are so angry about any consideration of removing that organ from the body, which is the surgical procedure we call a hysterectomy. It gives me a better understanding why there are women who are not only offended, but almost feel as though their life is over if it is not functioning properly, and many who have gone to their death over this organ that is not functioning properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely like what's being said from the standpoint that men, women have a role and responsibility of helping to understand how very valuable women are as it relates to their ability to bring life into the world. And those women who are not able to bring life into the world, are they less of a woman? And I think that's a message that I hope will help us to understand that the discussion about the womb in this way may be more symbolic of the elements of being a woman and what that means.
Okay.
But that a woman is not defined by an organ of the body called the uterus.
Right. Okay, let me do this. Sister LaWanda, what Dr. James has indicated to us, do you have a question? You know, because you're the teacher. You're doing teaching to women.
Well, I don't have a question, Dr. James, adding that contribution to this conversation.
Hold on just one second. Someone has a telephone. I know that there's some young folk in the background, which is good. I mean, we want them to be around. But just mute your phone a little bit so that that way it doesn't interrupt the talker. I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, you can go ahead, LaWanda.
No problem. Thank you, Dr. Rogers. And thank you, Dr. James. I really appreciate your tact with coming into the conversation and mentioning that, because that is very, very important and very true. I definitely don't want to take from any woman who may be listening or anyone else on the line who is trying to receive this information in the most authentic way possible. And so, sister, I appreciate you for mentioning that, because that's absolutely correct. I'm not trying to discredit any woman who may not have a uterus, right? That's absolutely not the intent, but I think you hit the nail right on the head saying that symbolically, you know, as women, that is something in which we have very little knowledge about, whether this is in the beginning before any woman may have a procedure where it has been removed. I think the importance is that very young and early on, this should be education that our young women receive, and the community is able to appreciate and understand as well, because as we've kind of already stated, this is more so of an epigenetic issue, more so of a generational trauma challenge that we're dealing with, and we're seeing the outcomes in present day, and it just doesn't look good. And so you are so right.
Okay.
You are so
right. I do have a... I'm sorry, sis.
No, you're good, Miss Lotus. Go ahead.
Doc, if it's okay, I do want to ask the doctor, from a scientific perspective, is the womb and the uterus, are those terms interchangeable?
Yes, that is a more commonly used term, the womb, but the anatomical name is the uterus.
Okay. And the reason that I asked that question is because, I'm just going to be honest, I really didn't know, but in my mind, I see the womb as almost the spiritual part of, meaning, and I really don't know, but this is just how I designed it in my head to make it make sense to me. I always felt the womb is our connection, it's almost like the spiritual and biblical cord to me, and the uterus is the organ. And I know that sounds really crazy, but that's how I see it. Like, the womb is the spiritual depth. In other words, if you remove the uterus, what is it that's still because a woman is a woman is a woman is a woman, right? And so in my mind, it doesn't matter if she has children or not, if she's able to bear children in the physical sense, there's something spiritual that still allows her to nurture life and give an energetic life into the world, even if it's not a physical life, if you understand what I'm saying. And I know that those are two completely different worlds, but that's the way it makes sense in my head. Just the essence of a woman, there's something about the essence of a woman that is very spiritual. It's very connected into the intuition, the wisdom, the softness, the quiet, the things of the woman that we associate with the feminine energy, right? And so those are the things that connect her to the Most High, not just the uterus.
And I appreciate your description. You are viewing that term. But I want to certainly, and I hope that I have certainly allowed you an opportunity to broaden your discussion really as you're describing the essence of the woman. But it is not that organ, and as I have come to work with the uterus, as you're speaking about the womb, and as I'm listening to you, I think about that organ that I have many times held in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that organ that I have removed from women. I think about that organ that, in my mind, is the closest example of magic, if there was any example of magic.
Yes.
And if you think about the whole pregnancy process, which is what I have devoted my career to studying, is some of what you've spoken about in terms of the sperm and egg coming together, and what happens within the uterus and allows for that progeny or embryo or fetus or baby or future relative to grow. And I think what you're hitting on, though, is so valuable that goes beyond your use of the word the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And just recently, the thought occurred to me after so many years as to how in the world have women allowed themselves to be in any way subservient, in any way negative, when they have endured being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
When they have endured menstrual periods. Who can imagine blood leaving your body every month and not consider that power?
Exactly.
How can you imagine the women historically who have not only had one children, have had many pregnancies?
Mm-hmm.
How can you minimize the woman who's been in a field, who has delivered, has seen that baby leave her body as she has completed that aspect of parenting, and then jump on a horse and take care of the field, or jump on a horse and be a warrior?
That's
how
right.
Could you even dare attack me?
Mm-hmm.
And I have that level of power, and I think because women have not been taught
exactly,
to value, you're pretty bad. You are tough.
Mm-hmm.
When you can do all of those things that women have done,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, that's
so. I think you've hit on something very important, very powerful, and in my what you validated is dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
that can occur, and I have for many years said this is as a result of something that is happening that is not physical but maybe emotional, maybe
mm-hmm.
spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that black women and poor women,
mm-hmm.
similarly experiences dysfunction of the uterus at an early, more aggressive age than
mm-hmm.
any other woman. And what is it that they have in common is some of the emotional traumas. And I believe that the uterus, as you're describing, is a very sensitive measure of that person's overall well-being.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think that we can effectively provide the care for women unless we can address the fact that there is an organ that responds in a bad way sometimes in response to all manners of trauma that she's undergone.
So when I think about eating something that doesn't agree with your stomach. So about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks, I had some avocado toast. And we know that if you eat avocado a day after, you can prepare yourself. So when I think about someone forcing themselves into my body, which I have experienced that, and they leave sperm, and I've experienced that, and it connected with an egg, and I experienced that, and have a child. Now, because of my spiritual foundation that I am so grateful for, I was able to love that child, and I was able to nurture that child and accept that that child is supposed to be here. But think about last week, my body rejected avocados, and it took me through. I mean, I felt the vibration in my arms, and my blood wasn't flowing through my body right. Avocados. Now think about carrying a seed inside of your body for 9 months that invaded your body by force.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to carry that child. Now the child was not just put there by force. Now the mother is dealing with the trauma over and over and over again as her stomach gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then that child is pushed out, forced out into the world. And all that trauma comes right out with that child into the world. And then if that mother breastfeeds that baby and she has not dealt with her trauma, it's still on the inside of her. She's feeding that trauma back to that baby.
Absolutely.
Because she's not healed. What does that do to a child? And we are reproducing the same traumatic acts over and over. Now, statistics also tell us that when people deal with one trauma, it's not so unlikely that those people don't repeat. It is because we're not addressing it. We won't look at it in the face and deal with it. The womb is so, now, just as it can harness trauma, it holds life. And if we can get to cleaning out the trauma in the womb, the spiritual trauma in the womb, and then that life, the essence of life, can come forth in a different manner, that's how real healing, generational healing, takes place. When we really respect that womb and what it really holds, it is the incubator to the Most High God. And so when we really connect those dots like that and deal with the things that we've dealt with, especially as people of African descent, because that's just the trauma of before you even get to the world. And then you got to deal with a world full of trauma the rest of your life as an African person in this world.
Okay, Lotus.
That does not have to be I'm sorry.
I was going
to
say, I want you to hold that thought. I got to take a break.
Okay.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back, maybe get Dr. James to explain that, respond to that. And then I want to open up the lines for some of our guests to also ask a couple of questions. But this is a dynamic conversation. I really appreciate you all tremendously for agreeing to participate in this. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
You look at me like I'm unfamiliar, acting brand new like you never knew that you liked them thick. I've been carrying this weight in a world beneath these braids, and I'm confused. Would you take the pain that came with all the parts you wanna claim for you? You want my thighs, you want my stride, but not this melanin. You want my hair, but you don't care for this complexion. I'm a black woman. I'm a black woman. Hard breaded, sweet tea sipping, Nubian queen with the skin that glistens. I'm a black woman. 16 sitting on a cold floor in the corner after school. Recovering from your cover up when you told me I wasn't right for you. It wasn't hard to believe, 'cause when I watched TV, I would never see a leading lady look like me. Familiar package with less pigment. I ain't ignorant, it's just reality. You want my thighs, you want my stride, but not this melanin. You want my hair, but you don't care for this complexion.
Finley Medical Clinic. We serve uninsured, underinsured, and insured individuals. Open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Urgent care clinic Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call for an appointment at 414-988-3079. Finley Medical Clinic is accepting new patients. Vaccines and screenings for uninsured, underinsured, and insured. Located at 10721 West Capitol Drive, Suite 110. Call our office for an appointment today.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Okay, we are back, my sisters and brothers. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. We are talking about the power of the womb. And we have a wonderful conversation going on with those who are working in efforts to create a better understanding and of the womb work, and some of the things that are required for us to know that. We have with us Dr. Janine James, who is a gynecologist who has worked for years and brought thousands of lives to the earth from the womb. And so she has a wonderful understanding of the physical function of that organ that we find in our sisters. And so therefore, the others are talking about the spiritual aspects of it and the dynamics that it carries as well. We do believe that there's healing in the womb. And that healing can provide us with an opportunity for liberation in the African American community. I want to mention just very quickly a couple of publications, a couple of books that embrace some of this discussion. Some of you may have probably heard of it and have read it. So nevertheless, let me just kind of recall your attention. There's one book particular that I found to be very interesting. The author is Nicole Cianello, and it's called Save the African Womb. That is the name of the book. And then there is a website
That's very interesting. And I read from that earlier at the beginning of our program, and that site is called Womb Wisdom. And that has interesting facts that embraces a lot of what our conversation here is tonight. And then there is another book. This sounds dynamic. I have not read this myself, but I think I would like to. It's called The Womb Circle. It is a womanist practice of multi-religious belonging. And the author of that is Dr. Monica A. Coleman. She is the author of that book. Dr. Coleman is an associate professor of constructive theology and African-American religions. And she is the co-director of the Center for Process Studies at Claremont School of Theology, as well as associate professor of religion at Claremont Graduate in the University. And again, the name of that book is The Womb Circle, A Womanist Practice of Multi-Religious Belonging. And there is an essay, a very powerful essay, that goes with that. And because many of you are my guests, and I'm so happy that you're with us, if you have a desire to get a copy of that essay that deals with womb circles and talking about what a womb circle does, if you will, I will then send it to you. The email address is all small letters, blackrealityTT at currently, currently.com. Again, blackrealityTT at currently, currently.com. And that article talks about womb circles and the different things that goes on in a womb circle. So in the email, I'd like for you to just make a comment about the program tonight and then request a copy, and I will forward that to you via email. And that way you get a chance to read that, because I'm pretty sure we're going to be revisiting this again. Sister Lotus is going to be coming back on and doing some things from this perspective. And, of course, Sister LaWanda Chambers does so every Saturday on her program from 3 to 5 on Blog Talk. And she has a group of women that talk about this kind of thing all the time. So if you would then email me there, request it, tell me what you thought, give me your thoughts. If you don't tell me what you thought, I'm not going to send it to you. No, I'm just kidding. I will. But I would like to hear your comments about the program and what you thought about what we were doing tonight. And I will send you a copy of it. And then before we move on, there's one other book that I thought maybe might be interesting. And I heard, I think Sister Lotus mentioned this in her discussion. It's a book by a woman named Queen Afua. It's called Sacred Woman, A Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit. Queen Afua, Sacred Woman, A Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit. So those are just a couple of the things that I think would be of interest to some of you around this topic. And again, we've got to use this. We're saying that we have to use this method because there is healing in the womb. So, Sister Lotus, now had you finished your question to Dr. James so she can respond, or did you want to add something to that? And then we want to kind of go to the lines. Say it again.
I finished my thought. Mm-hmm.
I can't hear you.
No, I finished my thought.
Okay. Dr. James, yes. Any comment on what she had to say?
Again, I think that we have a very powerful observations. I think there is a need for further collaboration and really getting at the essence of a woman.
Okay.
And our focus on a part of a woman doesn't hit it. in terms of us getting where we really need to be on this subject. But I think that we are talking about things that are going to have the real potential to bring about the healing that is needed, most definitely. And I'm glad we are talking about this.
Great. So as a doctor, and I like the fact that you had indicated when I first, because I remember you and I had talked about this and just in a casual way, and you said you had the question, what is he talking about? But so as a doctor, when you hear someone say something like, there's healing from the womb. The womb is a healer. And I've read that in Native American logic. I've read ideas around the fact that the womb has the ability to heal, and that there are methods and techniques that one can use to get your womb to heal. I think there's one book I looked at that talked about this woman, Taisha Abelard, talked about being able to understand to let the vagina breathe so that healing can take place in the womb, or something to that effect. And I'm just reading this information. So to you as a physician, what is that? Does that mean anything?
I think that it's not an issue that I have studied.
Okay.
From the standpoint of the of that organ being a healer or having the healing powers.
Okay.
I think that some of what we're talking about, particularly when we were talking about eating certain foods and certain reactions, what we do know is that that organ is very responsive to certain hormones that are made either in the body or that are given to that woman, and the uterus responds in a variety of ways depending upon which of those hormones that it receives. So there are some foods that do have some properties. They have some chemical properties of hormones, and hormones act on parts of the body bringing about certain effects. And so some of those hormones are critical. It's not just a fetus being in a uterus that allows it to grow. If you don't have the hormones there, which come from ovaries, not from the uterus, then the fetus will not live. In fact, that's what many miscarriages are a function of, not being having the proper amount of hormones that allow the uterus to hold on to that pregnancy and allow it to continue to grow.
Okay.
But that is a chemical study of research that's been done, and I would hope that our listeners, I hope that our guests as well, study more about the impact of hormones.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. on the organs, and not just the uterus, but other parts of the body as well.
Okay, good. And then I know Sister Lotus, and I know we don't have time to get deeply into it now. It's just not enough time to get into all of the elements of this discussion. I have heard you talk about the chakra work as it relates to the womb. And I did read something from the sister Taisha Abelard that talked about understanding the chakra aligning and blockages and not blockages as it relates to the womb. Just briefly, what is that something that you all are looking at too as well?
It is, and I know that our time is short, and you and I are going to be working together on a monthly basis. So one of the first shows that I'm working on to present to your audience is that chakra work in healing the body in the chakra, and specifically as it relates to the womb are the lower the lower chakras. So when we start putting some attention there and healing ourselves, you really will. I know because I do it personally, and I can see the healing in my personal body when I address on a spiritual level the healing that takes place on the physical level.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's dealing with the sacral plex chakra deals with that that part of life, the sex trauma and things like that. So when you address it that way, you, you can reset.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's go to our audience, and I'll go over to Sister Ayan. I know, Sister Ayan, you have talked about the Yoruba work and the Yorubas and their involvement in this as well. And I just, unfortunately, though, I just got to ask you to try to keep it short as possible, because I would like to get to someone, because we have a lot of people on online, and we don't have a whole lot of time to work with it. But I do want to give some of the other folks a chance maybe to ask a question. So, but I do want to go right to you and ask you, what about the Yoruba work in the area of the womb?
Dr. Rogers?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, greetings.
Greetings.
I'm listening right now. I haven't been on very long, so I need to get the gist of what's being discussed. Yeah, so if you can come back to me,
okay,
that would be fine. You know, I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm here.
Sounds good. Brother Lush, how are you doing tonight?
Finding yourself. Good evening.
Good evening.
Real quickly, Sister LaWanda, will you be on this Saturday?
Yes, absolutely. How are you doing?
All right, finding yourself. It's a pleasure hearing from you and Sister Lotus, and also Dr. James. My quick question is, why isn't there a complete rejection, particularly of men who want to go into this area of changing their gender, changing their sex, for some strange reason or another, realizing that they don't have that kind and type of power? They may have a feminine, quote, unquote, energy, but they don't have the kind of power that you all possess. And why isn't there a rejection coming from your side of the fence, so to speak?
Good question. Dr. James, LaWanda, anyone can answer that.
I had to take a deep breath before I responded. I want to make sure being most excited.
Okay, I hear you.
So, just let me go over your processing. I want to be honest, especially because I have a lot of respect for the transgender community and anyone who is a part of the LGBTQ community. And if I left out any alphabets, please correct me, because I definitely don't want to be ignorant or say things that are just not in my element. So what I will say is I respect everybody. To each their own. I find it as a form of flattery. I find it as a form of a lot of other issues that go on in families, and then some of which are not family. Some people will tell you I was born this way and ain't nobody ever did nothing to me, and this is who I am. And who am I to deny them of that, right? You can be as pretty as you want to be, but there are just some things that transgendered men or women will not be capable of doing. But what I can say is that science is doing a lot of new things that I am very shocked, and shocked not in a bad way, but just shocked to see how much technology and how much knowledge is becoming available around reproducing, having new body parts, and then have body parts that connect to who you are in your mental. So who am I to say they're not having a spiritual connection because we all have levels of divinity within us. So I'm not one to say you can't be a woman because you was not born a woman. Just like the womb doesn't directly identify every woman to be a woman. The womb doesn't represent my womanhood. It's a part of me. My womanhood is defined by me. My sensuality is defined by me. My awareness to my sensuality is defined by me. Are you aware of your sensuality as a man? Are you aware of your feminine energy as a man would be my question, because we all have the power to have both masculine and feminine energies. Hmm. Which one do you cling to the most as a man? And that's for any man that's on the line, because that's what it's going to take for men to really understand what it is that we're having a discussion about today. Being in tune with that part of yourself and not shying away from it because of what patriarchal society has taught you about being a man. This requires you to be able to think about not only your physical maturity, but your emotional intelligence, your spiritual understanding.
If I could respond as well to the sister, to Sister Luana, as well as the brother.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a bit of a different perspective. I don't think, and doctor would have to tell me, I don't think, with the discussion being the womb, I just don't think that's something a man or a person born as a man can really identify with. Now, the masculine and the feminine energy is definitely something we all have inside of us. And one can be out of balance. We all have masculine as well as feminine energy, and they really should be in balance inside of us. But the womb and the work of the womb, I personally do think that that's reserved for the woman, as that is the way that the Most High made, right, the way that the Most High made her essence of the woman. I don't think that that can be duplicated. Just like I don't think that a woman who cannot produce a child is any less than because she has that the glory of the womb. And I think that that is reserved just for those that the Most High created, that came into this world naturally as females. Now, I personally believe there are many people who say that they were born in the wrong body, that that's what they feel. Now, if we go a level deeper, that could also be attributed to that trauma that was passed on generation to generation that was never addressed. So now, that's not to say what people do with that, that's not my topic. But what my topic is understanding the power that comes with the womb. And I personally, this is just my opinion, I really believe that that is reserved for someone who was born that way.
Thank you.
The discussion has some long tentacles, and it reaches in a lot of different areas. That's one thing I'm learning tonight from this, that it has a broad reach, and it's a lot of areas that you have to touch on. But anyway, thank you all for that so much. Let's go to 919-0288. Oh, I'm sorry, 0288. Just listening or comment? Okay, just listening. All right. Brother Herbie, how you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Rogers.
Good evening, how are you?
And good to your esteemed guest.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say that when we were captured and enslaved, one of the main ways to reduce us was the desecration of the womb, both physically and psychically. Mm-hmm. We treat things based on their value. If you don't have any value in yourself, then that's the way you treat yourself. If you don't have any value in yourself, people won't have. Look at shows like Love and Hip Hop and Basketball Wives and all the music videos where women are reduced to the least of themselves to send these messages out that you're not worth anything. And that's the battle that we're fighting.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
To recapture, just to add, I saw a video on the Trail of Tears with carrying their infants on the trail, and the infants died. And they carried them the rest of the way because they couldn't throw them away, but they had to carry their dead infants with them the whole trip. So when a woman reproduces and creates a child, which is a miracle, and the child is born, her job has just begun.
That's true. From my perspective,
is she prepared for that job?
Yeah.
The white man has tried to unprepare her for that job. That's all.
Okay. Dr. James, how, you know, from the physical perception of the womb, how does that statement hit you in terms of your logic of things?
I am reminded of the many women that I've taken care of who, for a variety of reasons, are unhappy, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And it impacts their physical being. And until we understand that connection, that we can't make anybody be a mother. We cannot make anybody really nurture a fetus, as we found out. And we've seen many examples of children who have been traumatized in utero because their mother cannot, for reasons that only she knows about, is not able to make that connection that's needed. And so it's important that we understand how much the external impacts the well-being of that mother and her ability to go on and do the very important job before the baby is born. When someone says that the job starts after the baby is born, that is it's a continuation. You begin that process of nurturing in utero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't begin with birth. It's just, I call it, from going the outer birth baby to the inner baby. You can see it now when it's born, but your job began long before that. And I think that's an element that really women only have identified with who've been pregnant, in terms of that level of connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can say on that subject.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go to Fort Worth, 817-7050. Any questions, or are you just listening? 817-7050. Okay, just listening. All right. Brother Timothy, what you got to say? Oh, wait a minute. You were having some noise in the background. I had to silence it a minute. Okay, Brother Timothy. One two nine five. Any questions or comments?
I just tuned in, and periodically I've heard some of the talk, but I just tuned in. What was there a question you had raised, a point that you had raised?
No, I just wanted to see if you had a comment about the topic today.
Oh, I'll just listen a little more, and
okay.
then I, you know, like to remember.
All right, uh-huh. No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. I think the last name here is Belinga. Belinga, question?
Yeah. I have no question. I'd like to thank your guests for their insightful information. It gave me a lot of food for thought.
Okay.
And I will keep listening. And thank you for having them on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. LaGrange, Illinois, 708-9440. 708-9440. Questions or comments, or are you just listening? Okay, yes, you're just listening. Thank you, and we do appreciate you being here and listening as well. 414-1636. Questions or just listening? 414-1636. Okay, let me ask Dr. James and also Sister LaWanda this question. What can men do, or how can men better understand this? What is it that they need to do to better understand this so that they can be supportive, maybe not be harmful in ways because you don't understand it? What is the best way you would suggest to our brothers to grasp this subject so that they can be a benefit as opposed to a detriment? I'll start with you, Dr. James. What do you think can happen? How can that be done?
Yeah, I just recently have gone through this with my son, who welcomed his first child, and the points that I made to him is that the woman needs to feel protected, safe, loved, because all of this has a bearing on how she is able to nurture that fetus. It will make a difference as to whether she survives, whether the baby survives, and I don't think that men necessarily understand how very critical this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to understand this during my own pregnancy, and I could not tell you how wonderful my husband was and what a wonderful job that he did taking care of me.
Okay.
But yet I was sick throughout the entire pregnancy. And it took me many years to understand what was contributing to that. And my mental state was that I was going to be abandoned during that pregnancy.
Mm.
And there was nothing that my husband was doing, but I was not felt, I did not feel protected. I didn't feel the kind of feeling, I guess, I needed to feel, and I think that goes for many people. Unless you can work with their head, then you cannot effectively help them in their pregnancy,
okay,
in being successful and nurturing of the baby.
Gotcha. Sister LaWanda?
I couldn't agree with you more, Dr. James. And as you were speaking, I just really think about the mental health being significantly nurtured during that time, especially because we know postpartum depression happens way before the baby is introduced into this world. This is happening while the mother is carrying. The dad could like she just said, can be doing everything right. And if the mental is not in the correct space, there is going to be some challenges there. I also think that comes from just grieving the life that we once knew as we become mothers or making a transition into motherhood. It's a lot of things that happen that we don't pay much attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree with you in that regard. And then to answer your question, Dr. Rogers, about what men can do, I would simply say try not to add any more stress if you can.
Good.
As less stress as possible. Let's become more understanding. Let's become the anticipator the woman was for you before that child was conceived. Really listen, really be there, and really understand the value in making a child. This was a manifestation. You created something together. And so understand that on the primary level before, you know, you're choosing your suitors and your partners, because bringing a baby into this world is lightweight for the men. You know, easily walking away, like she said, and thinking about that abandonment and knowing that this would be a lot easier if I had a partner. You know, we're talking about contributing to broken homes when we are walking away from the women that you choose to lie down with. So I really need for men to level up and care more about their penis,
mm-hmm.
and not use it just as a tool of validation in the community, because you need to feel good about yourself.
Gotcha.
I really need men to value themselves as much as we teach women to value themselves.
And I agree. That really has to be done more, because I remember being an 18-year-old father, I knew nothing about none of that stuff. You know, I had no clue, because I came up in a generation that didn't talk about a lot of that. And so I didn't know anything, like when the water bag burst, I didn't know what happened. I was crying, because I didn't know what that was, you know, and all that water coming out, I'm saying, what is this? You know, nobody told me. I wasn't taught that, you know. And other things, you know, I went, you know, to go shopping for the baby, and I bought a toothbrush and some more stuff. Brushed hair comb, brush, toothbrush.
I didn't know.
I forgot. I didn't realize the baby didn't have teeth when it came in the world. I didn't know that. I'd never seen a baby. You know, my first baby seeing was my own. So, you know, it's just so much. You're right. And these young boys, young men today, they don't know that. I watched my grandson. He's 19, 18. He didn't know. I had to tell him some things about it. That. So anyway, I understand that very carefully. Okay, let me just one more, and then we're going to have to get ready to kind of close it out. I had asked one of the 414 call, but I mean 919, but I guess they might have disappeared. Okay, 414-7805. Any thoughts, questions? 414. 7805. Any questions? Just listening. Okay. All right. That's fine. And so, all right. Let's kind of do a roundup real quickly. Lotus, could you kind of do it from your area? We got about 6 minutes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. 2 minutes.
I would like to thank you so much, Dr. Rogers, for having me on, and the other two guests, Sister LaWanda. I listened in on your show on Saturday, and I loved it. So I appreciate the opportunity. I would love for you all to continue to dig into the topic and get an understanding of the power of the womb. I do a lot of shadow work. My website is High Vibrations Holistic Hub. It's long, but spell it out exactly as it is, .com. High Vibrations Holistic Hub. And I would love to have a conversation with any of you that are looking to do some healing when it comes to the woman. Also just understanding the masculine and the feminine. So, again, I appreciate the conversation. I'll be on once a month with Dr. Rogers, and I'm sure he'll keep you
informed on our topics as we move forward. Thank you again. And I just wanted to throw this in. For men, your question, how can we assist? It's really not a bad idea to go back to some scared straight tactics. And when they're ready for sex, they need to see what it looks like for a woman to push out a baby. That's my last 2 cents.
Okay. All right. Luanda?
Well, thank you, Dr. Rogers, for inviting me. It was nice to meet you, Ms. Lotus. I appreciate you tuning in to the show, and I'm looking forward to your show so I can tune in as well. Thank you, Dr. James, for your contribution as well, because it definitely helped me to look into some of the things that will help me to better work with my clients and make that connection with the medical side as well as the mental side, and just better helping women to process and provide that psychoeducation. So I appreciate that. And most importantly, this topic is not one that we can definitely complete in the time that we had today. So I think that further discussions around this topic should be had, because there is a lack of education around it. Right. You know, we need to have some information around the medical side of things, some metaphysical side of things, as well as the mental side of things, because one side of it is not the full picture, and the full picture encompasses everything. And so it was just a blessing to be able to have a discussion with this much expertise on the line to say, hey, but I'm looking at this, and, you know, educating one another so we can be on our game. So I appreciate you, ladies. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to further discussions with you guys about this.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Dr. James.
It's been truly an honor to have been here today to talk with our audience, to talk with our guests, to listen and to learn, and I look forward to further conversations of this nature.
All right. Thank you so much. And Lotus, I want to thank you for bringing this idea to me, and I'm so glad that we were able to do it and make it happen. And to all of you, our guests, our listening audience, whether you said something or you just listened, we appreciate you. We need that support. And we'll be back here again next Tuesday at 7 o'clock with another discussion. We have a very, very special guest for next Tuesday. I'll wait because I want to make sure he comes. But before I give the name out, but we do have a special guest that we are planning to talk with next Tuesday. So thank all of you. Have a very safe week. You know, I guess I got to say it. You got to wear those masks. You know, COVID is back on the rise. So you want to make sure that you are safe and protected. Thank you. And have a wonderful evening.
Hotel.
Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seals. Who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Well, who's that riding, John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seven seas. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day, called Adam by his name, and he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seas. You know, Christ had 12 apostles, and 3 he led away. Say, watch with me 1 hour till I go yon and pray. Tell me, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seas. Who's that riding, John the Revelator? Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seas. Christ came on the Easter morning. Mary and Martha were there to see. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Tell me who's writing John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seventh seal. Who's that writing John the Revelator. Who's that writing John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing John the Revelator. Wrote the book of the seventh seal.